Today we are going to do the Maitreya Buddha's initiation. Maitreya Buddha is the fifth Buddha that will come to this this time. And this time is considered as the fortunate eon, because there are many eons which there were no Buddha or only few Buddhas were come to the samsara and teach. But in this eon, we have 1,000 Buddhas will come. Up until now, our present Buddha Shakyamuni is the fourth Buddha who has come, and now the fifth Buddha after the Shakyamuni is the Buddha Maitreya Buddha, Buddha Maitreya. So this is his initiation. Before we begin that initiation, I was also asked to give Bodhisattva a vow. I'm also going to do that in a very short form. And also, before we begin that, according to my understanding of Buddhism, I'm not saying this is what I have read in the text. I'm not saying this is what is the right thing, this is the only thing. What I'm trying to tell you is the what I have understood according to the my limited understanding of Buddhist teachings. One of the things is that before we begin the journey or enter into the path of Dharma, I think it is very important to understand why you are entering into this path. I think this is one of the biggest mistakes that we make, that we joined, we start this journey without knowing why we actually joined this, or where it leads to, or what is the reason that you have joined this path. The reason why we have joined this path is to get rid of all your sufferings. That's where it begins. But also, one must understand that when we say get rid of our suffering, the way we explain or the Buddha's teaching is that it's all in your mind. Everything is mind. Physically, nothing really exists, because the first teachings the Buddha did, he taught in Varanasi. Basically, after Buddha was enlightened, he taught for the first time in place which is nearby Bodh Gaya. He taught the truth, noble truth. Basically, the truth. There are four noble truths. If you compress them into the shorter version, it's basically the true noble truth, which is the ultimate truth and the reality truth. Reality truth is what we see, what we experience, what we normally considered as good and bad. All these things is considered as a reality truth. And the ultimate truth, it is what it is, the actual truth. So what you see, normally we say what you see is believing. Only if you see something, then if you hear somebody say something, and then you may or may not believe, but when you see something, then you believe. But here is we are saying that when you see something, that is not the whole truth. The whole truth is beyond what you see. So that's why it's called the ultimate truth. Ultimate truth is something which beyond the reality truth. So this is very important. And also, without understanding fully that why we are joined the path of the Buddha, then if you jump into this practice, we have Hinayana and Mahayana, or we can call it a Pali tradition and Sanskrit tradition. And they are both equally same, equally important, equally beneficial, equal, everything, but there's slight difference, the only level difference, but otherwise basically the same. But when you join, then we see, we try to do practice, we receive initiations, we receive instructions, we try to do our sadhana, we try to do all these things. But then because we haven't really totally understood the path before you join, then for example, when you do retreat, for example, if you do a Vajrapani retreat, 1 million mantra, or Vajagilaya retreat, 1.6 million, or He Vajra, or any of those retreat, we do the mantra, we do the, how do you say, 2 months, 6 months, 3 months, 1 year, depending on how fast you are doing. But then you also feel, I have done as according to the text. I have done all the mantra, I have done all the rituals, everything according to the, then why am I not seeing any result? This is a very common question that we get. But then, we have to also understand that when you chant the mantras, it's not just about chanting the mantra. All these texts that we read, all the sadhanas, all the prayers, all the rituals we do, actually these are supposed to be internal. They're supposed to be visualized, supposed to be, because we have difficulty visualizing all this, then we are saying it out loud, so that it helps us. For example, I mean, I don't know if this is a good example, but if somebody is scared, and if somebody is screaming, say, "I am not scared," "I'm not scared," you are trying to be scared. You are trying to be brave. That's how you are reminding yourself to be brave. Just like that. When you are chanting these mantras and chanting these rituals, reading all these different texts, these are actually all visualized, all felt, all experienced. Because this is all experience. These are the experience of our masters, and they are explaining how it is. And according to those masters' experience, we are supposed, like, for example, when we watch a movie, people who directed, who have acted years ago, when you watch emotional movies, you're crying. When you watch comedy scenes, then you are laughing. That is not happening just then. It happened, or even they are acting. People are acting, but still we are our emotion is, how do you say, it gets our emotion. So if we feel emotionally sad, then we are crying. Then because we are reenactment, people are so. This ritual and our sadhana and all these initiations are similar to that. We are trying to reenact our masters, our ancestors, masters, their experience. We are trying to go through that experience ourselves, so that we gain some kind of experience, some kind of blessings. So this is how it is. But coming back to my first point, is that the reason why we joined is this, is because we want to get rid of our suffering because of this samsara. But then at the same time, sometimes words, I think, is also very important. When you say, when you get rid of your samsara, you want to attain enlightenment, that means you are getting something, you are attaining something, you are getting somewhere. But in the actual teachings are actually, you are not gaining anything new. You are not getting anything new, you are not learning anything new, you are just understanding what you already have. Because without for example, if there is no seed under the ground, then no matter what condition on top, you will not see anything growing out of the ground. Just like that, because we are inwardly, we are already pure, our mind is already enlightened. That's why we are able, all sentient beings, that doesn't mean humans, that doesn't mean Buddhists, that doesn't mean any, all sentient beings, the gods realm, demigods realm, hell realm, every sentient being is able to be enlightened. So we all have the opportunity. So that's why but we have the, among all these different realms, human has the most chance or highest chance of attaining enlightenment. Attaining basically means understanding. Understanding that this life, everything you see is is an illusion. For example, all the things that we experience, good thing, we have already, we have decided, some people have already decided that this is good, this is mediocre, this, everything is set in our life. So we are playing the game according to these rules. And now we are trying to understand, because in order to understand the high level of Buddhist teachings, one must come out of these sets of rules, and then only you will be able to see the see and understand, experience the reality, truth, and ultimate truth. I believe that just by words, by seeing these things, it's you may understand a little bit, but to be fully understand this and to fully experience this, one must rise above the laws of how do you say, the samsara or whatever it is. Because if you are normally, I give the example of, if you are playing football, if you are following the rules of football, you cannot follow the rules of football while playing basketball. That will be difficult. If you are playing basketball, that means you have to follow the rules of basketball. You cannot follow the rules of football and try to play football. So these are really two different games. There will be very confusion, there will be mixed up, all these things. So this is what we are trying to do normally. But within the, following the rules of this society, or rules of the samsara, we are trying to see, we are trying to experience beyond samsaric experience. This is very difficult. So one, normally the way I simply say is that, to seek the truth, you have to be very brave. You have to be very courageous to seek the truth. And seeking the truth and understanding the truth, now this is also a very different case. This is also a much bigger, much, you have to have much a wider view. Because if your view is bound by the samsaric laws, it is very difficult for you to understand or the understand the truth actually. Seeking the truth, brave, courage. Then next step is understand the truth. In for that you need to be, as I said, you have to be courageous. You need to be very understand. You have to go beyond the rules of the laws of samsara. Now the final point, which is the most difficult, most toughest, which takes the longest, which is the I wouldn't really say longest, because that depends totally on one's own ability to digest. Because the final part is the accept the truth. So that is the most difficult thing, because we already accept certain things as in this world, okay, this building, this house, you, me, he, she. So this is all the because this experience, this law, we have been the laws of samsara we have been following for so long that we think this is the only law. So in order to go beyond that, first thing is seeking the truth. Secondly, the understanding the truth, and finally, accepting the truth, or you can say the digesting the truth. Now, that is the most difficult thing. And once you can do them, then basically that is the enlightenment, according to my understanding. Because you, one may think enlightenment, because for example, if I tell you a simple, short, how do you say, my own experience, short story is that when I was young, my teacher, my late teacher, Gyanendra Sambor, he said one day, when I was maybe 7, 8 years old, he said, today I'm going to test your ability to understand the words. He told me to tell me what is the meaning of Rang Xian. Rang Xian means basically, Rang means myself, Xian means others. Now here, I mean, it took me very long, many years to fully grasp the, decades to fully grasp the true power of that test, is that because we want, in one way we want, in one way we expect every religious text, and it's a very magical thing, something out of ordinary, a very secret, something very deep meaning, something very, extraordinary. We expect it's going to be, it must mean something like beyond imagination. So there were like two or three students with me. So we were all trying to see what is the meaning of Rang Xian, you know. Because at the same time, one must also understand, I must tell you that Tibetan written text, written language and spoken language, it's almost two different languages. I mean, in today's world, probably something like normal English with Shakespeare English. Nobody speaks like Shakespeare. It's a totally different, very flowery language. So it's very similar to that. The Tibetan written language or the written text and spoken language is very almost two different languages. So we are trying to understand, what does that mean? What is Rang Xian? Rang Xian? We are trying to discuss, After a while, we all got a little bit tired, and we said, Rang Xian, Rang Xian. Does that mean you and me? Does that mean you and me? He said, yeah, this is that means you and me. So it's such a simple thing. Because we put so many things in our brain, written in the text, it must mean something very magical, something more. Because Buddha's teachings are so simple. It can't be anything simple than this. Of all the teaching, all the religions, all the major religions, Buddhist must be the simplest and easiest to understand. Reason being, because Buddha is not telling you anything out of ordinary. He's just telling you what it is. He's not saying, oh, there's something you have to remember. He's just saying, this is what it is. That is it. There's nothing more than that, nothing less than that. He's just saying, this is what you're experiencing, this is the truth, this is not the unknowable, this is the ultimate truth and the reality truth. So he just, look carefully, or study carefully the Buddha's life also, you will not see many Buddha's miracles. There are a few, but it's sometimes needed for people like us. We need to see something extraordinary so that we are, so we can follow. But most of his teaching, basically. His teachings are simple. He's giving examples. Buddha was not a very, I wouldn't say, a talkative person. He was very simple. He spoke very less. Whatever he spoke in such a way that one word could explain a whole book or something. I mean, this was, he even his smile. There were many texts written say even his smile taught many things. Just a glimpse, his smile, just the way he looked at you, just the way he smiled at you. Many thousands of people understood much more than he could be many people explaining for many years. So What I'm trying to say is that Buddha's teachings are simple. Because we have to think simple. Because we make it complicated. We make it because we want to see something magical. So because of that, our ability to understand Buddha's teaching, basically we are stopping ourselves. We are making it more tougher ourselves because we want to see something. So it's even all this stress, all the suffering, all these things. Basically, we are inviting anybody calls you anything, or say chicken or a dog or something, unless and until you reacts to that. That is that. Somebody calls you chicken, somebody calls you dog, that is that. That's finished. But the problem starts when you react to that. You are getting angry, you are getting emotional, you are getting all kinds of stress. Oh, no, people don't like me, are they going to do things. Or you are imagining. Most of the problems in our life is all imaginary. We are creating all these imaginary things, and we are then making these stories and all this, then we have stress and all these things are basically... So if we just accept the truth, if we just... because if it is not like that, then somebody calls you a chicken, if it is really that bad, or if it is really, if you turn into a chicken, then it's a different case. But no one has ever turned into a chicken just by calling them chicken. So it's how you react. Nowadays, I try to explain this is that you are giving importance. You are giving importance. You are making it worse. You are making it, for example, if it is considered as calling somebody a chicken or a dog an insult, when does it become an insult? When you accept that is an insult. Not because somebody calls you a chicken. That is not the insult. But insult becomes insult when you accept, oh, that person is insulting me. If you just leave it at that, then it's not an insult for you. Because that's what matters. What you feel is matter. What other people feel, what other people do, because we cannot fix it. We cannot, even, this is another example I give. Forget about other people. Even our family. When you go to a bazaar or when you go to a shopping or wherever, children wants to go somewhere else, father wants to go somewhere else, mother wants to go somewhere else, and all these people are going to go somewhere else, some different place, because according to their own desire and according to their own taste, they want to do something else. So now, somebody has to, if they all go separately, that's that. But then if they have to go together, then somebody has to adjust. The father has to adjust, mother has to adjust, children has to adjust. No, they have to go all together like that. So, this is, if we cannot see together everything as one, even one family, forget about other people. I mean, that's physically related. That's just out of the question. Even your physically related, if you have different ideas or different way of things, looking at things. So my thing is that whenever you do practice, just keep it simple, keep it easy. Because that's easier for you, that's better, that's you can do much longer. If you take this text and if you mix it with this reality or the so-called the samsari law, then it's very difficult. Then it's very, very difficult. It's too difficult for our normal or human being to digest. So that's why I always say the simplest way is keep it simple, and the secret ingredient is acceptance. If you want to have a okay, this is another thing that I try to explain is that we all want something. For example, in this room we have a few people here. We all want something. Everybody in this world wants something. What we want, normally we normally say for happiness or long life or for family and all that. But we don't know. But okay, for example, if you say happiness, what is happiness? Okay, we normally our question stops there. So, oh, we want happiness. Oh, you want happiness. I want happiness. I want my family to be happy. We all want to be happy. Yeah, yes, we all. Then we are working for that. But then our questions stop there. If you only ask one more question, what is happy? Then all this, many of these things, then again solves a lot of problems. Because if you go deeper, just one more step ahead, what is happy? Then it's very difficult to find happiness. What is just like that, you cannot even find suffering. If you cannot find suffering or happiness, then what it is that we want, what it is that we are trying to do. So that's why Buddha said all of this experience, the samsaric experience, is an illusion, something that we want, but we don't know what we want. So that is, again, and the reason, what gives me the confidence, what gives me this belief that we can achieve enlightenment, that we can be enlightened ourselves, is just that question. What is it that we want? We want happiness. What is happiness? We don't want suffering. That's easy. But what is suffering? So, because the foundation of the suffering and the happiness or pleasure is such a weak foundation. Because just by one simple question, what is suffering? This is because of our desire, that's because of our anger. But then again, just one more question, what is anger? You cannot find anger, you cannot find desire, you cannot find ignorance. So then why is it affecting so much in our life? We are controlled by our emotions, we are slaves of our emotions, we are literally, controlled literally by them. So because of the foundation of these suffering is so like a paper. If a house is built with a paper, it will be very easy to even by blowing a wind or a small simple touch, you can probably destroy the whole house. Because the foundation itself is paper. It's so thin, so fragile. It's just by touching, you can actually break the house. But if the foundation is concrete, steel, made with stone, with strong, then if you want to break that house or foundation, it is very tough, very difficult, right? So because the foundation of the suffering is such a weak foundation, that kind of gives me the belief, the even stronger belief, that we can achieve enlightenment. We can be enlightened ourselves, and all other sentient beings can also attain enlightenment. Then where is this, why are we not those who are people here and those people who are receiving this is online? Everybody knows, because most of you have already, I believe, has received teachings before. So everybody knows all the suffering is, we are in samsara. Everybody knows why we are in the samsara is because of anger, desire, ignorance. This everybody knows. Then why are we not enlightened? What are we waiting for? Why are we not being enlightened ourselves? Now this is where it's how do you say, the tough part. Because we are used to this, because we are used to this so much, feeling the following the rules of the samsara. We have been doing this for so long, so many eons, so many lifetimes, so many times we have been doing, because we are used to this so much. Then it is difficult for you to now accept another reality. Because right now, this samsara is the reality for many of us. We have, because we have been accepting this. Now you have to accept another. That's now the how do you say, reality truth and ultimate truth. Now that is where it takes long. Also, how long it takes, how that also a lot on how brave or how open your mind is. When I say how open means, if you are going into a conversation already. How do you say, decided whatever your point is, then no matter how much debate, conversation, meetings you have, it doesn't make any difference, because you are not changing your mind. Because you are basically going there to prove your point. You are not going there to learn anything. So you are, because you are closed. If you close the door, nothing can get in. If you go there with an open heart and ready to accept, then only then you will be able to learn. So, the reason why we are in this samsara, the reason why we are in this samsara is because of our emotions. We all understand that. Now there's a trick. There's a tricky part also. We say, we want to get out of our suffering. We think, in this samsara, what is keeping us in this samsara is our desire, anger, ignorance. So this is making us. So if you make it simpler, is that suffering is easy to give up. Who doesn't want to give up suffering? Everybody says, in a minute or in a second, in a blink of a microsecond, you will be ready to give up all your suffering. Now the tough part, difficult part is to give up your happiness. Because just as the suffering is giving you a lot of trouble, a lot of problems, these mini happiness, small things, small like Sunday, Saturday, weekend, holidays, ice cream, all these small things which gives you pleasure, or which you think gives you pleasure. Now these are the things which is keeping you in this samsara. Not the suffering, not the pain, not the stomach pain, headache, work, business, or all this is not keeping you in, because this is easy to give up. Because if you don't like stuff, you have different things at home, or you possess different items. The things you don't need, or you don't want, or you don't feel is important, it's easy to give up. You don't want this shoe, take it, give it. I have no, you will not regret, you will not have any feelings whatsoever. Now, if you have maybe a phone, or maybe a cup, or a computer, or your TV, or your car, if somebody asks you to give the things that you like. Now that is very difficult. Now that will be very painful, that you'll be dragging on, I want to give, but you'll be trying to give the excuse and all that. So now this is what is keeping you in this samsara. I feel compassion towards all the people going through this suffering. I feel also equally, or even if not more, compassion towards the people who are living a happy life, because now these happy or these small pleasures, this is these are the things which is keeping you in this samsara. So that's why I always say we have the luxury of suffering. Suffering is very important for a practitioner, for a people who wants to practice Buddhism, to understand Buddhist teachings. Suffering is the most important thing we have, the greatest thing we have is the suffering. Of all the suffering, the greatest thing is the death. Now, please understand, I do not mean we want to kill ourselves, we want to harm ourselves, in no means. The most prejudice, if you are alive, then you are able to understand and practice these teachings. If you are not alive, then you can't do anything. You are not able to practice. So, by no means I mean any harm to yourself. You cannot. The most, we have many sins, and in this defilement, we have also different levels of defilement sins. One of the things is if you harm yourself in any way. Now, that is really considered a very, very high degree of sin, because you are the chance that you have, this human body gives us, when you are alive, not the body, but when you are alive, it gives you the opportunity to understand, to practice, to do all these things. Now, if you harm yourself, that means you are actually getting, blocking yourself from these opportunities. So that's why it is considered you must try everything and anything and everything in your one's power to keep yourself alive, to keep yourself safe, to keep yourself healthy, to eat healthy, to do whatever you have to do to keep yourself alive longer, for prolong this life. This is very important. But what drives you to the Buddha's teaching, as I said, is suffering. Because if you are not suffering in any way, then you will not try to get out of this samsara. I wouldn't want to go out of this samsara if I have no suffering. Why would anybody wants to like Monday or Tuesday? We will all want Saturday and Sunday every week. Every day is Saturday, Sunday. It's very good. But because all these Monday, Tuesday, they are difficult. Saturday, Sunday is good. But why Saturday and Sunday is good? Because we have Monday and Tuesday. Because if it is good, why good becomes good only when there is bad? Then there is no bad, then there is no good. Because you must have, because rich people are rich because we have poor people. If there is no poor people, if everybody is millionaire or billionaire, whatever it is, then there is nothing special about that. You know, if everybody is in such same level, then you will not, because of poor, because of then you, I'm rich and all that, I'm handsome, or whatever it is. But it is very important. You are rich because of poor people. You are healthy. You are alive because there's death. So death makes it much more important. Death and suffering are the source, that or the main reason that encourage us, that drive us to the Buddha Dhamma. Now, I'm not saying this death and suffering is good, but it gives you that opportunity. For example, for a very long time, it was very tough for me to understand why gurus are important. We have Vajrayana, Hinayana, especially in Vajrayana, the gurus are, there's nothing greater than guru's faith. Gurus, the faith you have in guru. We all can understand, why do we need gurus? We can understand, we can all read, we can all understand these texts. Then why do we need guru? Now, because Pali tradition, Sanskrit tradition, or you can call it Hinayana tradition, Mahayana tradition, within Mahayana tradition, there's a higher form of is considered as Vajrayana. This is how we explain. Now, Vajrayana is in such an advanced, such a high level of teachings that's beyond everything else. For example, let's say somebody who you care so much, you love, your wife, your children, your parents, or your friend, whatever, it is in a house where there's fire. You will not hesitate to try to go into that house and try to save them, bring them out. You will not, you will be ready to sacrifice. You will be ready to do, and you, even you burn yourself, or you, even there's a danger of harming, how do you say, burning yourself, you will not hesitate to try to save them. Why? What if that person is somebody you don't know? A stranger is in a house. You know, you can hear them. You know they're in there. They're screaming. They're doing, or they're scared. They're doing all that. But if they're in this burning house or place, would you think before? I may be burned ourselves. And now this person you don't know. You have never met them. You have no attachment. Whatever it is, with that person in there, will you think? What if I try to save them, but what if something happens to me? You will think. You may call it, survival instinct, whatever name you want to give. But you are ready to sacrifice. You are ready to do more than what humanly possible. It gives you that encouragement to do to that more than what normal we do, because you are ready to even burning human flesh is not a normal thing, you know, because you will be feeling a lot of pain. You could even die yourself. So if there's somebody is you love, you really have attachments, then you will not think, you will just jump into that building. Now coming back to the reason why gurus are important. Now, because this is such an advance, because this is such a deep, unique, but also such a, advanced thought process, that you need that love. In normal human terms, you can also say love. You love your guru because you are willing to do everything for your guru. That is important. Because if it is a normal teacher or normal person telling you, explaining you things, you say, what is this talking about? Where is the logic? You are trying to find logic. If he says this, then you must prove to me that this is the right thing. But now, if you love this person, if you beyond love, the faith and love is very different things. We must, but I think mostly people don't understand what faith is, so they mistake admire their love with your faith. Now they are on a totally different planet. I would say faith and love is in a totally different planet. But normally we understand, we kind of understand. We don't actually understand love, but we think we understand love. So anyway, I'll stick with love. So if we love this person with everything you have, it's very easy for you to follow that person. It's very easy for you to accept whatever he's telling you, or he or she is telling you, right? If you don't trust the person, he says, okay, now this, you have to do this, you have to visualize. No, maybe. First, I must understand for the logic. I want to find the logic. How can I benefit from this? Once you, in love, or once you you do, then there's no questions. Then only then, and then only, you will be able to understand the true meaning of Buddha's teaching, or what your master is teaching you. Only then. Could be same class, same session, same amount of teaching, same everything, but in different individuals, faith, I believe, this is my personal belief, decides what kind of understanding you will have. There's nothing magical or wind or something, anything like that. It's just that how much you believe in this person, how much you trust this person, how much you are willing to do. Because, as I said, once you are with this, without any a single threat of regret, without even a single threat of regret, if you are able to achieve this kind of faith, then there is no difficult path. How many people have changed diapers here? When you're trying to change somebody's diaper, if somebody who you don't know, you'll be doing that. Oh, no. So difficult. But if it's your own child, will you be doing that? No. Or even your parents or your something. Once I was in Switzerland, I was driving somewhere, and in a parking lot, I saw a senior person who was wearing a diaper, and somehow it broke or something. The lady was sitting in the car, and the car was stationed, and the door was open. She was sitting there, and the lady was trying to clean the stool and all that. And I felt this is wonderful. If you do not have, I don't know whether that person is her daughter or nurse or whatever it is. If you do not have, if it's a daughter, then it's the love that you have for your mother. Or if it's a nurse, then you have the compassion, enough compassion to do that. That is such a beautiful thing that I saw. I was so, for a moment, I couldn't move. I was just looking at her. Then my wife felt maybe, oh, this creepy person is looking at us. But I felt it was such a beautiful thing. Because that is the pureness of that. There is no, oh, if I do this, I'll gain more things, or if I do, there's nothing like that. It was such a pure and such, because that is the beauty that I felt, oh, this kind of love and compassion, if we have towards every sentient being, what kind of world that we will be living in. Now, that is such a pure moment that I felt. It was such a wonderful experience. But anyways, if you try to do anything like that, you feel, oh, this is dirty and all that. But if that person who you love and care, you wouldn't mind. You will not think, oh, I cannot touch this. Like, you will not do that, because what it is that the person is feeling this way is because of love, care. Now, if you go one step ahead, like further down, then you find faith. Now, with this full faith, then there is no suffering, because there, whatever experiences you may have, then you will be able to digest. You will be able to go through all these things because you have faith. This is such a beautiful, such a powerful thing. Faith is especially in Vajrayana practice, there is nothing. And if you come to final points, then faith is the most important ingredient. More than your understanding, everything else, faith is the only thing. Because you will need such a faith. Not because your faith is... Because without such a faith, because we are talking about... Now, especially in Vajrayana, we cannot be practicing Vajrayana without Bodhisattva mind. What is Bodhisattva? Bodhisattva mind is basically when you include every sentient being in this world. How difficult it is to look after your family. And how many people are in your family? Father, mothers, or children, maybe at a maximum 10 people in your family. We spend our entire life worrying about your family. For 10 people, we spend our entire life we are working for them. Now imagine if you are working for just humans, 7 billion people. How bigger heart you will need to worry for 7 billion people, not for 10 people to 7. Now we are talking about, now Bodhicitta level is now every sentient being. Now that's even beyond, there's no number to that. And that is Bodhicitta mind. So that's you can even describe that number. So, in order to have that kind of high level of understanding, one must have faith. That too, not like Saturday, Sunday faith. That too, like 110% faith, without a single doubt. The more the purer your faith is, the more faster you will be enlightened. Now that is it. There is no, better way to put it. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no making it simpler. But that is it. Because our mind, as I said, our mind is set. In order to get out of this fixed position, you will need to start with. You have to be very brave. As a normal samsari being, you need to be very brave. Sometimes we jokingly say that to be Buddhist, you need to be strong and brave. A weak person cannot be Buddhist. Because we are talking about, there's not a single text, there's not a single puja, there's not a single moment when you start your Buddhist path, till the end of your Buddhist path, till end means enlightened, where you are not thinking about all sentient beings. There's no puja, there's no text, there's no ritual, there's no sadhana, there's no deity where you think about yourself only, or even your family. Everything is for all sentient beings. So in order to digest such a huge, vast teaching, one must have faith. Without faith, it is not possible. It is not humanly possible to understand. This is what I believe. The faith makes it possible. Faith makes it, faith makes it clear all these small holes you see. If there's a very smooth road, you can drive without any problem. Now, if you have small dots here and there, you may feel a little bit bumps. But faith clears all these mixed paths much easier. Because with faith, even whatever physical pain, society or family, whatever you have, you are able to, you have enough, digest to, you can go, able to go through them, instead of, stopping yourself from every different part. So, faith is very important. Now, first thing, today I'm going to do, it's a very simple one. There's a four line word. Is sangye chodam soge chonam la chanju phado dan ekap suche dagi so jib de chom je dola khun sangye rupish. Now these four lines, the first two lines, sangye chodam soge chanju phado dan ekap suche, is talking about is the refuge. Now for even because I'm a very dumb person, it took me very long time to, because whenever I was told that without refuge there's nothing you can do, maybe I have to pray all these different prayers and then I have to start the teaching. Now refuge means, what is refuge? Is refuge who you are taking refuge? Refuge to the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. The path, person who is explaining Buddha, his path, the teachings he's giving, and also people who are following those teachings is the Sangha. So basically, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, and you are now totally into this. When you take refuge, means you are saying, whatever happens, this is it. There is no turning right, there is no left, there is no right, there is no if, there is no but. There is only one thing. You will, no matter whatever conditions I go through, I have full faith to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Now, that is the basis. That is where you start. That is not the main practice. That is where you. Without that, as I said before, we are always doing this practice for all sentient beings. Now that. Not a question. There is not a if. That is it. So, taking refuge Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, because you Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, then you are taking refuge for all sentient beings. Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. This is very important. Now, basis on that, then whatever deity is different, because these are all different paths. Dhamma is basically a path. There is Vajrayana, Mahayana, Hinayana, even then we have different deities, the Vajrakilaya,